The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You want the good news, you want the bad news?
I don't like either one of those options.
Your words are super wise, man.
Is this the Dr. Ray?
You know, we're not doing therapy here.
But you're a psychologist.
I'm certainly not going to get myself in trouble by telling you what to do.
I got to say, you're really helping me by taking my call today.
I just never thought I would call your show.
All right, first of all, my advice to you is going to be to shut your mouth.
I like that. I can do that. That's doable.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
I hope you're going to agree with me.
Well, no, I'm sorry. I just was calling to let you know that you are right.
Nevertheless, I digress.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I wish Andrew would have played that one segment of the bumper. Just called to let you know you're right. Six or seven times. Can't we just have the whole bumper segment like that, Andrew? I just called to let you know you're right. Just called to let you know you're right. No, it's not humble. I'll admit it. But I didn't say it. She did. I can deny it. I can say, oh, gosh. Gee willikers. Good to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. Privilege. It's a major, major privilege. Although I do feel a little languorous. My grandfather, who came from Italy through Ellis Island when he was 17, worked at Union Metal in Canton, Ohio, very close to where Mother Angelica grew up in Canton. And if Papa were alive today, in his broken Italian accent, Ramit, so what do you do? I talk, Grandpa. You talk. Yeah, I talk. They pay you for that? He couldn't understand it. What are you producing? And if I were to tell him, well, I'm producing placid emotions. I'm producing problem solving. I'm producing options for people to select from. He'd say, and I don't know quite how to spell this, but he'd say, yeah. Good to have you with me here. Produce little options for you. The number to get onto the program is 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. If you have a question about something in your life, something that's perplexing you or frustrating you, or it's not, and you think, well, maybe it should, give me a call, put our heads together. If this is about a kid, I feel very confident that you may not be smarter than that kid. I may not be smarter than that kid. But the two of us together could equal this kid's savvy. Or if it's an adult, grown-up, kid, somebody frustrating you. Generic question about life, faith, intersection of faith and psychology, development, IQ, certain diagnosis you don't understand. Maybe some psychology terminology. You know, psychology terminology just sort of drifts. Sometimes it is a tsunami into normal, everyday, popular lexicon. Things like narcissist and toxic and boundaries and self-image and comfort zone. Oh, win-win scenarios. Our language is replete with all kinds of once in the university halls of psychology, but then it escaped, got out, and it just glommed onto everyday speech. So the number again, 877-573-7825. Now, my dear friend, Bob Look, who is definitely the general manager of Good Shepherd Catholic Radio, he sent me an email. And he said, now, Bob, if you're listening, I hope you are, because we had to check this, Andrew Krucek, producer man. It said, let your listeners know that Good Shepherd Catholic Radio in Jackson, Michigan, and the staff is Dan and Peggy and Craig, celebrated, and this is what it says here, Bob, You know what you did. Their 11th month of an on-air operations last month. 11th month, hey, huh? Now, of course, we had a crew check. My producer man said to me, well, why didn't Bob just wait for another month and say our first year? But it's not. It's 11 years. You guys know that. You've been on the air 11 years. Jackson, Michigan. I'm going to Jackson. Remember that song by Nancy Sinatra? You big talking man. So congratulations to all of you there. All right, what else do we have here? My standard announcement that I've been making and I will continue to make until the audience is filled up on October 28th and 29th. We will be in Ann Arbor, Michigan to tape 4 episodes of Living Right with Dr. Ray. I remember when I was speaking with the folks at EWTN on a title for the program, I said, you know, Living Right with Dr. Ray is a little uppity. It's kind of a little self-promoting. Like, maybe we could just make it Living Okay with Dr. Ray. It's got a little nice little rhyme to it, you know, and it's not too grandiose. But anyway, it still is Living Right with Dr. Ray. 4 tapings, October 28, 29, at Russell Videos. It's there in Ann Arbor. It's right there. 5:30, 7:15. 2 a night. If you'd like to be in the audience. Now, interesting thing here at Russell Videos, we don't have a whole lot of room. Normally, we can take 100 to 200 people. The studio setup there allows us 55. Now, what we did was we pushed that number up a little bit. So the one show that is simply filled up is Wednesday night at 7:15, Father Joe Krupp. Now, those of you listening up in that area with Father Joe, you know what he's like. He's a heck of a guy, wonderful priest, funny as all get out, incredibly funny. He'll be there, and he must have a plethora of groupies because he's filled up. But here's what I would say. If you come on the show before, you can stay. You can sneak your way to stay because sometimes people don't show up when they say they will, even though we tell them you got to show up. So the shows are still open, with the exception of Father Joe's, on Tuesday and Wednesday nights. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and sign up, because once those things are filled, we're going to have to shut it down. That'll be it. Now, that's what, 3 more weeks from now? Usually, people sign up later because what it comes down to is I just have to make sure I don't have anything better to do. Like, you know, rake the leaves out of the back flower bed, blow dry my hair, dust my coffee table. All right, 877-573-7825. Oh, man. If I do this, I'm going to really drag this soft break out. I used to consult to 11 school districts in Columbiana County, Ohio, when I first came out of grad school and was working at the Columbiana County Mental Health Center. That's what it was called then. It was a big old white 2-story house on the main drag in Lisbon, Ohio. Beautiful little town. Beautiful little town. I consulted to the school districts. And as a consequence, over the years, I was giving an awful lot of presentations to various school districts, mostly around the state of Ohio, for in-service days for the teachers. And I got myself in trouble a number of times when the question came up about suggesting a child's handwriting an essay apology on something like disrespect or mistreatment of a sibling. You know, the topic is the parent's choice. Not unusually, a literature teacher, grammar teacher, language arts teacher would object. Don't use my subject as a punishment. Don't do this. And I said, why would that be? And they said, well, you're forcing the person to write against their will. And that will turn them off toward writing. I want them to have a natural love of writing. So I would ask this, not necessarily in front of the whole group. See, someone comes into your class. No, actually, the students. Students come into your class, and you tell them what the year is going to unfold like. And you tell them, I am going to give you all A's. There will be no bad grades for missed assignments or lack of assignments or neglect of assignments. I do not want to force you under threat of bad grade to write. If we give you a certain assignment, I'm stumbling for words today, and I'm pausing, and I'm not going, you know, because I hate saying you know. I'm not going to grade you down if you don't turn it in. You simply will get the grade that everybody else gets. I do not want to force you to write. Are you willing to do that? Well, no. Well, why not? You're doing what the parent is doing. The parent is saying, you are forced to write this. It is an assignment. That's what an assignment is. It's an assignment because of your conduct. In your class, you're giving them an assignment because you want them to learn how to write against their will. I had a delightful woman who used to listen to this program from Poland. She wrote the most wonderful emails. Her name was Nell. And she heard this objection one day on the show, and she wrote me, and she said she was getting a PhD in some type of comprehensive journalism, literature. And one prof told them, you're PhD students, so you should write these assignments simply because that's going to be your career. And you should now be motivated because you're all far along the line of being writers. So you can choose to turn in the assignments or not. It will not affect your grade. Everybody was excited that she said we were being treated by adults like adults. And she said that worked for first part of the semester. But by mid-semester and later, less and less of them were turning in assignments. Why? Well, they weren't required. But shouldn't they just love to write? Shouldn't they just want to write because of it? Any writer will tell you, writing is discipline. It is hard work. It is the hardest thing I do. When I write, it's tough. It is tough to put your thoughts down on paper in some kind of cohesive format, and you edit it 27 times till it sounds right, and you get pleasure because you look at the end product, and you're somewhat satisfied with that. But writing is a discipline, and it's practice. How many kids would write if you didn't make them write, if you didn't send them to school and say, okay, you now have a language arts class, and that language arts class is going to require a whole bunch of writing or you're going to flunk. Well, that's kind of forcing it, isn't it? You want me to love writing, and then you're holding an F over my head? Tell me where the difference is. I don't know how we got this idea that if you make a child practice their writing skills, like their math, and like eating their vegetables, and like please and thank you, these are all just habits you develop, that somehow, some way, go ahead, extrapolate this to church then. Don't make them go to church. You want them to want to go to church. And if that kid's 14 and doesn't want to go to church, you don't want to force it, do you? Boy, you're really running a risk there. One final anecdote. I could approach this from many, many angles, but I'm sorely running out of time. A well-known author was giving a seminar to young writers. The place was packed. He approaches the podium, And he says, you are here, I assume, to learn how to write. Of course, everybody agreed. And he said, well, then leave. Go home and write. Now, obviously, he talked more, but that was his point. It is all practice. And it is all something that sometimes has to be forced upon you. I force myself to write most of the time. I don't say, oh boy, go goody, goody, goody. I can't wait down. I can't wait till I can sit down for 2 hours and try to figure out what's in my head and put it on paper so that it makes sense. Boy, that's exciting. I would rather wax my car. At least I can see the results of that. So for those of you who are thinking, I don't know if I want to use essays, you don't have to worry. That's not going to happen. And my two oldest children, who both wrote their share of essays, when they applied to college, got perfect scores on the verbal of the SAT. Maybe it was the results of all them essays that they're, them essays, you see? See how I did that? Trying to be a little folksy there. The essays that their mom assigned them. 877-573-7825. Dr. Ray.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I said to the sisters one day, what do you think you're going to look like in heaven? Oh, some of them had absolutely magnificent ideas. I didn't think of one of them. And so I got desperate because then my turn came. I didn't know what to say. And so in desperation, I said, what do you think I'll wear in heaven? And they all said with one voice, armor!
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
You people are hyper-vigilant. You are hawks. Frank just sent me this email. It says Jackson was sung by June Carter and Johnny Cash. That is true. The original, I believe. But I think Nancy Sinatra also did it. Maybe I'm wrong, but Andrew's checking it out. But Frank, you're on top of it, man. I hope you just listen to my advice as closely as you listen to my lyrical mistakes. We have an anonymous young lady here. Calling. It's a little nervous. That's okay. I'm highly trained to take care of nervousness. I can just tell her, please relax. How are you, young lady?
Oh, I'm just smiling.
That's good. I'd rather have you do that.
Your introductions. I've always been amazed at you as I listen to you on Catholic radio. You are the most interesting, educated, performing artist as well as a professional psychologist. You're just, I have words that I can't express. I really appreciate your love for Christ and people and how you are there always for everybody. And I just love the way you do everything. I'm really grateful for you. very much.
Do you realize, dear lady, if I'd have known you were going to go on like that, I would have dumped my whole monologue. I would have given you close to 10 minutes, go to thesaurus, find all these superlatives, and I'll just wait. And you say them. Now, I know Andrew, he's on the phone, so I don't think he heard all the sweet things you said, because normally he's going to... Andrew, are you there or are you on the phone? Because... Okay, he's reading about Jack. You got to remember, flag what this dear lady said. We got to get something out of that. Okay. So what, this friend sure. that comes to your house.
Yeah, please. No, I'm well, serious. I'm ready to rip my hair out. I've been trying to struggle. I've tried to be kind, patient. I've done some teaching regarding...
How many years has this friend been doing this?
A long time. But I didn't notice it over time. I didn't notice it.
So this friend just sort of comes over, and does this friend interact with you?
What does that mean? Interact with
conversation? In other words, you're friends. You talk and you do those kinds of things. But in fact, she kind of, it's a she, I assume.
It's a he.
Oh, it's a he. Okay. So he's kind of a slob, and he really doesn't care what he slobs up at your house.
Well, I guess that would be a good way of expressing it. I don't understand.
You're reluctant to use that personality trait slam. Slob.
I thought maybe he was defiant disorder, like he didn't understand what I've been trying to say.
Well, he does.
He'll take something dirty off, huh?
He does understand it, but he probably just doesn't want to do it.
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
You've told him, right?
I've told him patiently, in a way that's teaching and not being mean or crude. I've gotten agitated and probably said things I shouldn't have said. And now I'm tired of carrying the wondering, is this guy an idiot? Doesn't he get it? Does he have a defiance disorder? I feel like my grandchildren. Well, then why doesn't he do something? He'll pick up something dirty off the floor and put it on my clean kitchen counter, on my clean bed.
You dating this guy?
It's been a long-standing,
relationship
of family as well as myself. But I never knew how to. I didn't understand it. Over time, it's been quite some time. I've watched the same thing over and over. And over again, I try to set boundaries. I try to make something where even my grandchildren would have learned it. They learn.
Well, here's what it sounds like you're struggling with. And there's a sentence up here that Andrew put down here to kind of summarize. It said, you don't want to be mean, but you really wonder if this guy has some kind of comprehension problem.
Yeah, I did. He was dyslexia as a child.
Here's the thing, though. If, in fact, he's reasonably functioning in everything else, you can have conversations, you go out to eat, he wipes his mouth, he doesn't pick stuff off the restaurant floor and put it on the table. You don't have to worry how he conducts himself out there, but it's at your house that he has this kind of disrespect for what you would like him to do, just little things, and he doesn't do it. So I think you're reasonably safe in saying, well... For whatever the reason, at my place, he's not that motivated. You stay right there. I'm gonna hold you over because you are so absolutely sweet that I'm hoping when we come back, you reiterate all that. And I wrote it down for you in case you forgot. I wrote it down, and then I'll say it, and then you just have to say, I agree. Don't leave me. This is Dr. Ray.
Thank you. This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. National Right to Life says new numbers from the CDC show a 17% decline in maternal mortality since 2022, after just some states, after the fall of Roe, restricted or banned abortion. That at least implies that abortion restrictions save mothers' lives, a stark contradiction of abortion industry predictions. Nigeria formed strong connections with the Church of England during its colonial period from the 1800s through its national independence in 1960 and beyond. Those days are officially over, with the Church of Nigeria declaring independence from the Archbishop of Canterbury over the moral and political embrace of abortion by its new Archbishop designate. This is Life News Radio. Persecution around the world has manifested itself through the centuries, but it is worse today than ever before. Aid to the Church in Need and its donors have been there to help since 1947, never abandoning the Church or her most vulnerable children. Will you stand up for your faith and accompany our brothers and sisters on their spiritual journey? Visit churchinneed.org. As the federal shutdown goes on, a closely guarded Senate working group seeks enough Democrats and Republicans to compromise on abortion and revert to allowing abortion under Obamacare. Originally, the Affordable Care Act technically required separate billing for abortion premiums. By 2014, the Government Accounting Office found complete noncompliance. Senator Chuck Schumer's Democrats want this shutdown to revert to a total funding for abortion premiums, a violation of the Hyde Amendment. And the political death grip among those who pledge their allegiance to unlimited abortion is marking Virginia's off-year elections. Virginia voters are voting now through November 4th. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Andrew Krucek, my producer man, bailed me out with Frank, who corrected me. And he said that Johnny Cash and June Carter recorded Jackson, and I said Nancy Sinatra. However, Jackson was written 1963 by Billy Ed Wheeler and Jerry Lieber. Tom Price knows all this. It was recorded by the Kingston Trio, by Wheeler, by Flatt & Struggs, by Johnny Cash, June Carter, and most recently, Nancy Sinatra and Lee Hazelwood, along with a whole bunch of others. Well, I'm talking to a dear lady who started out her phone conversation with, oh, I would say probably 15 or 20 superlatives about me. And she totally neglected, and I was a little offended, she totally neglected my humility in all that. Can't believe she didn't say that, but she didn't. And she's got a man that she's had a relationship with, and he comes over the house a lot, and he essentially doesn't listen when she asks him, please don't do this kind of stuff. You're just sort of slobbishly conducting yourself in my house. You still there, dear?
Yeah, I'm smiling. I did forget to say humility. You've got a lot of humility.
I know it. And don't let it happen again. Now, here's the question for you. If you otherwise enjoy this guy's company. Wait, that was a hesitation. It looks like you got some mixed feelings there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think you just answered my question. You can say to yourself, I think what he does is indicative of, he really doesn't care all that much what I'm asking of him. I'm not asking him much, but he's neglected it for months and months now. This is not something that happened yesterday. Oh, a year? Oh, geez. Okay. Well, then you might have to tell him, I think maybe we could go our separate ways, or I think that unless you don't be more respectful of the things I ask you to do to my house and to me, the relationship's going to cool down. Now, I'm not telling you to do that, but that's one of your options. But if you say, well, no, right. I don't want to sever the relationship. Well, if you don't want to sever the relationship, then you're probably going to have to live with his slovenliness, because it's clear he's just going to do what he's going to do, and it doesn't really matter what you think. He's forcing you into a corner, dear. And the corner is you either put up with all this, as you have for all these years, or you don't, and then you may not be in the relationship anymore. That's the corner you're in.
Is that control? Deliberate control, do you think? Or defiant disorder?
I wouldn't call it a disorder. I think you're safe in saying that it's just a guy that's not considering what you'd like as priority for him. And it may be, I don't know, I don't know the situation, obviously, but it may be in his mind, no high-toned woman is going to tell me what to do.
Right, exactly. He had two women prior to me that were perfectionist-type people, literally to the nth degree. And they had lots of money, and they had a certain lifestyle. I feel that he is deliberately, maybe, I don't know.
Well, then you got a choice, and you can ask him one more time. Are you deliberately doing this? You know what I'd like. You don't do it. Tell me why. And then the answer he gives you is going to get you more enlightenment on his motives. God bless you, dear. Thank you so much. And next time you call, tell him you're going to say all those nice things so we can put you straight to the front.
Straight up.
Straight up.
I'll do it.
All right, love.
Yep.
Talk to you. Bye. Let's see. Andrew, he's not going to. He's not. I told him, I said, Andrew, come on. That's good stuff for bumper. He says, no, too complimentary. Kathy has a really bad cell. Maybe she's in her car with the windows down. I'll try to relate. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Scott DeRay.
Okay.
I'm back.
You had a comment on my opening monologue about writing and the fallacy that if you make someone write, it'll turn them off toward the English language.
You know, I confess, I didn't listen to the beginning monologue. I'm in the car. But I do recall that you said one time, you said, when was the last time a psychologist or a psychiatrist talked about humility? So I said, I'm going to call Dr. Ray and make his day, because I actually had a psychiatrist talk with my daughter and I about humility, humility being truth. And I was so excited because I only got one appointment with this guy before we go to another one. And I said, I just want to call Dr. Ray and say, they're out there. You don't hear them very often, but they are.
Do you know anything about this guy's understanding of religion or his worldview? He's Catholic,
yeah.
And he...
He's with Catholic Charities. Charities.
So he is going to infuse a lot of his guidance with virtue, things that are valuable for a person's well-being.
Right. Yeah.
Are you going to continue? You going to continue to see him?
I wish I could, but no. She's like seeing a psychologist, and then we're going to go to a psychiatrist for some evaluation to see what her cognitive levels are strong and weak. And anyway, but it was probably the only time I'll get to meet him, but I had to share my excitement with you.
I think that is wonderful. I often comment when I give presentations, I'll say, if you go to the computer and you type in child self-esteem, there's tens and tens and tens of millions of options. If you type in child humility, only a fraction thereof. And I said, when is the last time you heard a secular expert talk about humility, which is at the very center of our virtues? And my humility is something I'm very proud of, you know?
I understand that struggle, Dr. Ray.
It is. Bless you, Kathy. Thanks for the call.
All right.
All righty, dear. Bye. Jesse, you're up next, but I'm going to bang my head against a break here. Ooh, that's kind of rough talk, isn't it? Not allowed to really talk that way. I can get in trouble. Well, I am going to bump up against a hard break, but I'd like to hear more from you. It's the bottom of the hour, and usually we get another slew of calls at the bottom of the hour, so I'd invite you to call 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to call, 877-573-7825. If you would like to get onto the program, because we have plenty of time. Plenty of time. I promise you I'll get to your calls unless you swamp us If that happens, then okay, I may be made a liar. But short of that, I will do everything I can to get to your calls. 877-573-7825 is the number. Andrew is screening, and I'm sure he probably has his finger on the hard brake button now.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jingle.
Within the context of St. Ignatius of Loyola's spiritual masterpiece called The Spiritual Exercises, we find what is called the 14 Rules for the Discernment of Spirits. We may consider, where did St. Ignatius' spiritual teaching on discernment originate from? The following is from his autobiography, which highlights the moment his spiritual teaching on discernment is born, when his eyes were opened a little. Yet there was this difference. When he was thinking about the things of the world, he took much delight in them. But afterwards, when he was tired and put them aside, he found that he was dry and discontented. But when he thought of going to Jerusalem, barefoot and eating nothing but herbs and undergoing all the other rigors that he saw the saints had endured, not only was he consoled when he had these thoughts, but even after putting them aside, he remained content and happy. He did not wonder, however, at this, nor did he stop to ponder the difference, until one time his eyes were opened a little.
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
Father Benedict Rochelle.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God, but I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a little lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have. And we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence. And in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Oh, hi, Dr. Ray. Thanks for taking the call. I listen to you frequently. So
I don't listen to me frequently. Go ahead.
Well, maybe you should.
No. No, I don't trust what I think a lot of the time. Okay, let's go to Jesse. Jesse from Texas. Very simple, straightforward question. Hi, Jesse.
Hello. How you doing?
Oh, good, sir. Yourself?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. My question is, if the Pope is infallible, as we all believe he is, we're all Catholics, aren't his papal encyclicals also infallible?
Well, let me clarify. The Pope is not infallible unless he is speaking from what they call the chair of Peter, which is his authority, on matters of faith and morals. Much of the time, the Pope speaks as teacher, as someone who guides. So if the Pope says, well, I think the Cleveland Browns are not going to win the Super Bowl this year, he could be way off, way off. Also, if he says, well, I declare that the climate crisis is absolutely true, well, again, that's outside of his faith and morals jurisdiction. Papal infallibility is really pretty limited. It's pretty limited. He has to be deliberately speaking with his full papal authority. Now, the question about a papal encyclical, a letter, a guiding letter, if it's going to be infallible, three things. Got to be of faith and morals. The Pope must be teaching as the supreme pastor. And he declares it. He says this teaching is infallible. Now, regarding the encyclicals of the last 145 years, no pope since 1870 has declared his encyclical to be infallible. It is worthy of respect, worthy of obedience, and to be given great influence because it comes from our shepherd, our supreme shepherd. So in that sense, for example, I'm not sure if there was an encyclical written on the death penalty when I think John Paul II talked about that. And there was debate among many, which, okay, wait a minute here. Now, this is very strongly worded encyclical. This is Pope John Paul II saying, wait a minute here. But the history of a lot of Catholic teaching has been that there were times that, in fact, the death penalty would be morally appropriate. So John Paul's letter had to be given great, great, great consideration. Great. I think he would be the first to tell you it's not infallible, and he didn't declare it infallible. So hopefully that adds a few details for you there, Jesse.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay, sir. Well, I thank you. I appreciate it so much. Thank you for the call. All right. Let's talk to Chris. She's from Ohio. She said she wanted to add to the last call and say they just don't leave the house. Chris, I'm not sure what you mean. Help me out.
Hi, Dr. Ray. This is Chris.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, this is a test and maybe an activity in humility since you just discussed it. Are you ready?
Oh, I crushed that. Come on. I don't need tests in humility. I have...
the caller that gave you 23 superlatives?
Yeah.
That one? Dr.
Yeah.
Ray, you messed up.
I did?
You messed up. You didn't give her the option to just meet her friend outside of her home. Now, if she would have said, well, he lives with me, well, there you have it, the disrespect. That's it. Simple.
You know, you are right. I did not pursue that. I did not assume this was a live-in boyfriend. Good point. I got the sense it wasn't, Chris, because the call was being screened by Andrew, and the implication was the guy comes over.
Yeah. Well, maybe, I think that, you know, that's possible, but still, the other option would be don't meet at your house.
Well, that's a good point.
Go to a movie, go anywhere, but don't go to your house.
And that's a very good point. And my guess would be they do that. The problem comes when he comes to the house.
Yes.
So can I still...
I want to tell you that I really appreciate your show, and I listen to you all the time, and, you know, you...
You got to get out more. You got to get out more, woman.
I love the humor. Thank you, Dr. Ray.
All right, dear. You take care. Let me take a break, and when we come back, we'll get to your calls, and you take care of them, Andrew or Eric, and tell them they'll be up next. This is Dr. Ray.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
What is the perfect prayer? The prayer that was taught us by the Lord Jesus himself, the Our Father. The Catholic Catechism cites the Our Father as truly the summary of the whole gospel. St. Augustine writes, "Run through all the words of the holy prayers, and I do not think you will find anything in them that is not contained and included in the Lord's Prayer." The Scriptures, the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms, says the Catechism, are all fulfilled in Christ. This is the good news of the Gospel. St. Thomas Aquinas gives equally high praise to the Our Father. The Lord's Prayer, he says, is the most perfect of prayers. In it, we ask not only for all the things we can rightly desire, but also in the sequence that they should be desired. The rightness of our life in Jesus will depend on the rightness of our prayer. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
You're ready here, program Dr. Zid. Carl from Missouri called, commented. He said he likes it when I'm folksy. Aw, shucks. Gee willikers. Barbara from Dallas, Texas called a few weeks ago when the call dropped. I don't remember that, but Barbara will, she'll refresh my memory. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Thanks for calling.
Yes, I had called about my adult daughter, and she's 40, in her early 40s, and she has what I believe is borderline personality disorder. You just never know what is going to happen at any time and how she's going to act. But after listening to you, I have realized that I just have no control. And I have to just let it all pan out the way it pans out. She comes to visit. She'll not have anything to do with me. She won't answer texts, won't answer phone calls for several months. And then she'll just decide she's in a good mood and she's happy and she'll call. And sometimes she'll actually want to come over. She doesn't really have a house of her own. She lives with an abusive guy that she always says it's her fault because she pushes him to react the way he does. But my question to you is, when she does come over, she always wants to, she'd be happy and very personable. She's very intelligent. And she'll stay overnight. And if I ask her, you know, okay, how long are you going to stay or anything? Well, then she gets her feelings hurt that I don't love her and I should have unconditional love for her. And then if she does stay, she overstays to where all of a sudden she'll have a breakdown and start acting irrationally and crazy, and we have to ask her to leave, and then she won't leave, and I actually have to threaten to have her evicted because she'll call the police on us and say that we're abusing her mentally, and the police will come out, and they'll say, I'm really sorry, but you have to evict her because she's been here over 10 days or something.
So she'll come and she'll refuse to leave.
Yes. She'll come and she just literally will not leave and will say, I don't want you here anymore. You have to leave. And she'll say, I'm not leaving. And that, I think, goes with the borderline personality disorder. She just doesn't make any sense. Why does she want to stay if we're mentally abusing her? I mean, and yikes. I can't understand it, and there's nothing I can do about it, but am I hurting her by letting her come every 6 months or once a year to stay and then have to have the police out? And
is that all she comes? Just once every 6 months or a year?
Yeah, and sometimes she'll start communicating with me, and then she'll say she's talked to online psychiatrists, and they keep telling her, don't have anything to do with your parents. They're narcissists, and they're hurting you, and so then she'll ghost us forever. I don't know if she's dead or alive, and
yikes.
I worry about her.
So the relationship is completely unpredictable.
Correct.
What would happen if you told her before she came over, love to see you, but you understand the visit's limited, and if it's time to go, you have to go. And if you're not going to go, Please don't make me call the police. If you said that up front, would it make any difference?
It would, and she would say, probably tell me something like, a mother should love her child unconditionally, and I shouldn't give stipulations like that, and she might as well just not come. I mean, that's how irrational she is.
And what if you said, okay.
Then my heart breaks.
Well, you see what you're doing to yourself here,
Barbara. Because I want to see her.
Well, you see what you're doing to yourself. I mean, you could obviously meet her somewhere else. I'll meet you at the restaurant. We can have supper. You can do that.
I guess so.
But if you're saying, I love her and I want to see her, that's great. But then she simply, sounds like from what you're saying, will not adhere to your terms.
No, she just wakes up one morning. And actually what will happen is she'll stay awake for 2 or 3 days, and that will start this psychotic craziness that
Ooh.
She goes through.
Ooh, okay. All right. Is she under the care of a psychiatrist?
She says she does online, and she says they told her she has anxiety disorder. Mm-hmm. But that's because she only tells them her side of the story.
Well, if she stays awake for 2 or 3 days, that's a sign of the manic phase of a bipolar disorder. I can't diagnose that from here, but
right.
That's unusual, to say the least. Here's I think, what you've set up. That if you want her to come a visit, you want to see her, you let her come. But as soon as she gets uncooperative to the max, you have to take action. If you take action, she's going to be mad at you. She's going to accuse you of not being a good mother. And I think that's what bothers you the most, that she's accusing me of being a bad mom. Now, Barbara, this woman is 40-some years old, so I got to believe she's been accusing you of being a bad mom for 20-some years.
Oh,
true?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
You should be used to it by now.
I am.
You know what?
At 16, she wrote me a letter and said, to the birthing device.
Yeah, there you go. So I think two things I'm going to leave you with. One, let's not take her behavior personally, because you seem to believe, with good reason, that she's not in her right mind a good part of the time. So you can't give a whole lot of credibility to her accusations and her put-downs and her threats that you're a terrible mom. So you can't give that a whole lot of great credibility. That's one. Two, know that she's going to say you're a bad mom if you don't do exactly what she wants.
Correct.
And you have to ask yourself, am I helping her by simply allowing her to do whatever, however, whenever, and as much? Are you helping her, or are you just making this worse? Because you know as well as I do, there's going to come a point where you're going to call the cops, because she's just going to become so difficult living in your house.
That's true. And that's what my question to you was. Am I causing more harm by letting this repeat itself over and over again?
Well, maybe you have to act earlier rather than letting it go on for several days. As she's moving through one of her phases, you act earlier. You say, if this happens, here's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
As opposed to, when I've had enough, then I'm going to act.
Right. And that's what I'm going to do.
I'm going to leave you with this, dear. Let's quit beating yourself up over this. All right? You've got a not even a young adult daughter. You've got a middle-aged daughter who, for whatever the reason, probably pretty independent of you and the way she was raised, for whatever the reason, has certain emotional issues, certain personality issues, perhaps even something mentally a struggle for her. So you can't look at it and say, therefore I created that. You probably didn't.
Okay.
And that's big. Thank you for calling back, Barbara. God bless you, dear. Be at peace, please. Be at peace. Don't tether your peace to an adult child who can be all over the map. John, you call back, please. I'll talk to you. This is Dr. Ray. So glad you joined me. Hey, join me in Ann Arbor. Ave Maria Radio. That's a sign up for Living Right with Dr. Ray. October 28th, 29th. Want to see you there? 10 seconds, Andrew. All righty. Walk with God, your only eternal walk.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.